The question was asked. Hashem is omnipotent. He doesn't need anything, right? So then we're also told that Hashem created the world to give kindness, to do good. So he was lacking doing good. What does that mean? How can you reconcile the two concepts, right? So I want to give a short answer that will give you room for thought for a long time. Don't be quick to assume you understand the answer. It's a deep concept. It sounds simple. Its ramifications are huge. But it's at first glance, it sounds very simple. And so simple that you tell yourself, nah, that's not what it says. But think about it. You'll see that there's tremendous insight in the concept. I asked this question for a long time until I was taught this answer. Whenever you're going to analyze anything, you could always ask why. And you'll always end up with another why and another why and another why until finally you're going to reach, because Hashem said so, because that's how Hashem created the world. Anything you discuss, why is that red? So you'll say, well, the sun gives off rays and it gives back a certain number of rays and there's a wavelength and that's why your eye perceives that as red. And then you ask why, and then you say, well, the wavelengths are created this way and colors created that way. And then you'll say why, and eventually you'll reach a point where you say, that's how God created the world. And then you'll say why. All questions will lead you back to that question. Why? Why did God create the world that way? And that's a question which you really cannot have an answer to. Because any time you're going to come back and ask, why did Hashem do this? So what are you going to answer? Hashem was lacking nothing. So our first answer is that all the answers about why Hashem created the world, and there's more than one approach to it, they are about what my perspective to his creation has to be. That's answer number one. When I ask why Hashem, what I'm asking is what's supposed to be my perspective on why Hashem. I'm not coming and answering why Hashem did it. I can understand, like you correctly pointed out. If I say Hashem did it because he wanted to do good, then I'm intrinsically saying something that's almost blasphemy, that he couldn't without it. He couldn't impart good without me being here, without a world. He couldn't have people recognize him as king without a world. That, isn't that right away saying something that he couldn't? Can we say such a thing? Or are we saying what's supposed to be my perspective on his creation? Do I understand him? Not necessarily. Or necessarily not. But do I have to have a perspective when I live on this planet? Yes, I do. I can live on the planet and say, I have no concept of why God created the world. As the Ran points out, when we try to think of the concept of prayer and prophecy, they should both stymie us. The idea that the Ribon Shel'Olam talks to man is but a fleeting shadow of a bird that's passing in the air. That is man's whole life. A fleeting shadow of a bird passing in the air. Can you even benefit from its shade? Nothing. What is man? But God's going to talk to him? God is omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent. I am a fleeting speck of dust, and he is everything, but he talks to me? There's no logic to that. And I pray, and he listens to me? No, logic doesn't dictate that. Says the Ran, that's why the first commandments had to be said by Hashem directly. When Hashem says, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, why do we need the first two commandments by Hashem? Because when Hashem says, I am Hashem, so Hashem has just spoken to us. That means Hashem has, so to speak, limited himself or revealed himself in the limited form of time to man. There's prophecy. Elokecha, your God. Asher otzeiticha, I'm following what's going on planet Earth. I took you out of Egypt. Well, that's right away saying the basics of Jewish faith. The Ribon Shel'Olam says, I created, I'm talking to you, I took you out of Egypt, I was following what's going on there. Right away, the Ran says, that's why it was so critical that the first commandment was Hashem talking. Second concept, Hashem cares what I do and he's going to pay me back, yes or no? Lo yelcha elokim acherim. God says, don't worship others. Ribon Shel'Olam, you care? You're much bigger than that. What difference does it make to you if I bow to you or I bow to a Buddha, right? What difference does it make? I'm telling you, I care. So now you say, do I understand why God cares? No. But can I have perspective? Yes. And perspective is key. So when Chazal give us insight, Hashem created the world to be kind to man, to allow man to recognize his existence, they're describing why from our perspective God created the world, not why Hashem from his perspective created the world. So that's, again, this is, seems like a simple concept. It's a huge concept. It's something which you have to digest for a long time. Now there are other topics which are really basic to this topic, which really, you could say they precede the topic or they're offshoots of the topic, which I expect you'll have questions on, but they're separate.
Well, just to follow when you brought about Hashem speaking to the Jewish people directly, that isn't as much of a question to me, because then I feel like I get into the why. You know, because it's like, oh, how could Hashem limit himself if he's omnipotent, right? But then I just say, okay, he did it for so he could relate to us, and I just need to accept. I don't understand that realm without space and time and dimensions, and I just accept that somehow he can be all-knowing and all-powerful, whatever, and still come into our dimension and relate to us, and I can never understand.